So we're picking up in the third parak. We had started the Mishnah, but in the event that, well, since you weren't here,
thank you.
Everybody else will forgive us if we go back and review the Mishnah.
I meant to go over the tapes.
Yes. I'm not Foshig. So the third parak.
Next week, February.
Agav to the Agav to the topic of Kriyat HaMegillah, we got into the topic of things related to Kriyat HaTorah as well, although I'm not sure we're going to get to that tonight. It's interesting, of course, that Megillah gets its whole Masechta, and Kriyat HaTorah, which is, after all, a much more common occurrence. We read the Torah at least four times a week, sometimes more. Megillah we read, well, twice, you know, once a year, two times. But that's the way the Mishnah organizes.
But we have those Masechta Ketanot.
Yes, there are the Masechta Ketanot.
And those Dafka Mitzvot, like, not just Ketanot, you have also Tillin, Mezuzah,
Is
there some theory behind why those were relegated?
As you know, there are.
I imagine there are. What is the theory? What are some theories why those are relegated to those? What we view as primary ritual mitzvot, which aren't even like included by the university, is because they were so well known they didn't need a. Yes.
In school, one of two things would happen now. I would tell you, oh, if only we had time to talk about that. Or I would tell you, that's an excellent question, David. Why don't you prepare a research paper on it? Both of would be ways of covering the fact that I really don't have a comprehensive answer to your question. Now, by saying I don't have a comprehensive answer, I mean I don't know. But by saying I don't have a comprehensive answer, you might think, well, I know a lot, but not enough to give a full discourse on it. And they would come at the expense of learning Masechet Megillah, which is what we've gathered here today to do. Why certain things were relegated to the Masechta Ketanot, when we can imagine easily a parallel universe with a Shas, where there's a Masechet Kriyat HaTorah, or Masechet Sefer Torah, or a Masechet, you name it.
From an abstract point of view, all of Gemara deals with Sefer Torah, from an abstract point of view.
Not Kriyat HaTorah.
Not Kriyat HaTorah. The Mishnah begins. I'll just breeze through the Mishnah. Hakoriyat HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev. When reading the Megillah, you can stand or sit. We are on Daf Kaf Aleph Omer Aleph, the beginning of the third parak. Hakoriyat HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev. Right? Rashi says Im Ratza Omeid V'Im Ratza Yoshev. What does that sound like, according to Rashi?
Do whatever you want.
Meaning that, and as we obviously know, that you stand for Megillah. Because every time you go to the Megillah, the guy reading is standing. The Balkori. The Balkori. We're talking about the Balkori, not the audience. Okay. Although there are punctilious amongst us who stand for the reading, just like there are people that stand for Kriyas HaTorah. I, in my youth, used to stand for Kriyas HaTorah.
Then you got old.
And then I got old. And it's really hard on the legs and knees. I used to stand for Kriyas HaTorah because if you stand for Kriyas HaTorah, the person next to you tends not to talk to you in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah because they think you're being holier than thou. Not because there's a shita that you should stand for Kriyas HaTorah, you understand? I just thought it, you know, was, and it was better, but it's like, and in fact, now that I sit for Kriyas HaTorah, people tend to talk to you more.
You have to do a hijab in this?
It doesn't make a difference, though. If you're in an environment where everybody stands, it's going to be Shiva. If you're in an environment where everybody stands for Kriyat Torah, it's going to be Shiva.
Yeah.
They stop standing up.
Oh, yeah. There's an irony there. In yeshiva, they all stand. Yeah. They should call it Amida. That actually comes up in our Gemara momentarily. Hakoriyat HaMegillah Omeid V'Yoshev. So Rashi says, Im Ratza Omeid, Im Ratza Yoshev. So what does that sound like? Sitting is not a bidyeved. If the Baal Koreh sits while reading the Megillah, his yotze and his motze afilu lechatchila. Korah echad korah shnayim yatsu. If you had one Baal Koreh or two Baalei Kriya, your yotze. Normally you only have one Baal Koreh, one shlich tzibur. Makom shenagu levarech yevarech. in the place, we were talking about minag ha-makom a moment ago, in a place where the minag is to say a bracha, you say a bracha. Which bracha are we talking about? The bracha at the end, but we'll get to that also. Now the Mishnah goes on to create a Torah. B'sheni u'v'chemishi b'shabbat, on Mondays and Thursdays, b'mincha, b'sheni u'v'chemishi b'shabbat b'mincha, korin shlosha. On Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon, you have three aliyos. Ein pochatin mehem ve'ein mosifin aleihem. No more, no less. You can't have a hosafa. You know, we have this idea of a hosafa. We don't generally do it that much around here. Really, the only time we, in our shul, the only time we have a hosafa is if, like, there's a bar mitzvah and there's, like, you know, some issue.
Or something.
Yeah, but generally speaking, we don't do it. But there are shuls that do hosafa all the time on Shabbos. Right, when in Yerushalayim, the shul that we davened in, Ba'of and Kavua, they always had a hosafa.
Did they sell the aliyahs?
They did not sell the aliyahs. There was like a historical reason for it. It had to do with the fact that the shul, this is the shul in Baka, on Rehov Yael, you know, the shul that they call the Rehov Yael shul, even though that's not the real name. So they always had a hosafa. They always...
My bar mitzvah, I think there were 13 aliyahs or something.
Yeah, well, that's, you have a big family.
I would have paid more to have been... There.
Well, that was for historical reasons. That shul was founded completely by Pleitei HaShoah. So there was like a billion yard sites, and everybody always had a yard site, and everybody always had a something or other. So that became that minog in that shul that they always, both in Kavua, have a hosafa. But in more in other places, it's less common. But you can only have Osafa on Shabbos, not on Sheni, not on Chamishi, not on Yom Tov. Ve'ein maftirin b'navi, and there's no haftarah on those Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon. Hapoteach ve'achotein b'torah mivarech lifanea v'la'achareha. The guy that gets the first aliyah says the first bracha, and the guy that gets the last aliyah says the last bracha, which is obviously not our practice today. But we'll get to that. B'roshei chodashim uv'chol ha'shemoed korin arba'a. And Rosh Chodesh and Chol HaMoed, you get four aliyahs. Ein pochatin ve'ein mosifin aleihen ve'ein maftirin b'navi. Similarly, there are no hasafot, it has to be four, no more, no less, and there's no haftarah. Zeh ha'klal, kol she'esh bo musaf ve'eino yom tov, korin arba'a. When do you have musaf and... It's not Yantiv. You don't have an Isra Malacha, and Rosh Chodesh. B'Yom Tov Chamisha, and Yantiv you have five aliyahs. Yom Kippurim Shisha, B'Shabbat Shiva. Ein pochatin mehem, aval mosifin aleihem. The Gemara will have to figure out if this last clause modifies Shabbos or if it also modifies Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Whether you can have hosafot on Yom Tov and Yom Kippur. Umaftirin benavi. And you have haftorah on those occasions. Hapoteach vechotein betorah mivarech lefanea v'lacharea.
Rosh Hashanah is included in Yom Tov and Israel?
Hmm?
Rosh Hashanah is included in Yom Tov and Israel?
Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov for all purposes. Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, it's not like one of the regular
Yom Tov. But that doesn't say regular. It says Yom Tov.
It's the only one that isn't, so
we're going to check something
like that.
Now the Gemara says, Tana, Masha'en kein b'Torah. Now it's when we said Yoshev va'omed. How do I know what the Gemara is referring back to here? In other words, X. But it's not true about Kriyat Torah. So a little bit you have to infer. Rashi fills in the blanks. Rashi says, Mashen kein b'Torah, she'en korin b'Torah b'tzibur miyushav. But the Gemara understands that you, and there's however many points in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is more of a laundry list. It's not exactly like a regular Mishnah with a Resha and a Seifa. And a, right? It's like point, 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 point. I don't know, whatever. There's 7 points in the Mishnah. So you can presume that the Gemara is going to attack the points in order. But you have to make that inference, right? You have to know what the Gemara is referring back to. The Gemara is referring back to the first point in the Mishnah that you can read the Megillah standing or sitting. And if you couldn't figure that out, Rashi helps you. So you, Megillah, you can read standing or sitting. But the Brisa says Masha Ein Kein Batorah, but that's not true about Kriyat HaTorah. What is the din about Kriyat HaTorah?
Stand.
That you have to stand. Now Rashi said that you can sit. You can sit for the Megillah, even l'chatchila. However, the Rambam says, when the Mishnah says omed v'yoshev, so standing for the Megillah is l'chatchila, and sitting is merely b'di'evid. Meaning, according to Rashi, what position should you occupy? For the Kriyat Megillah? Doesn't matter. Standing or sitting. The Rambam says, what position should you adopt for Kriyat Megillah? Standing. But if you sit, you're Yotze. You shouldn't sit. But if you do sit and you read the Megillah, you're Yotze. That's what Bidyevid means. So the Gemara says, Masha Ein Kein Batorah. Right? You can stand or you can sit for Kriyat Megillah, but that's not true for Kriyat Torah. So play that out with the two different shitot.
Well, Rashi,
if you stand, it's okay. And if you sit, it's not clear what the Gemara means. Does the Gemara mean b'di'evid it's okay, or does he?
For Kriyat Torah.
Right.
So Rashi says, you can stand, you can sit for Megillah, it doesn't matter. And you're Yotze l'chatchila either way. Masha ein okein, but Kriyas HaTorah.
So Rashi and Islam would say, maybe with the Kriyas HaTorah, I mean, he might say, Rashi could say one of two things. Rashi could say Kriyas HaTorah for, standing for Kriyas HaTorah is either preferable, like, or you could say it's a chovah. But the Rambam has to say it's a chovah, because he can't say it's preferable, otherwise it would be different.
Right, so Rashi says, Kriyas HaMegillah lo mishaneh, stand, sit. Masha ein okein, but Kriyas HaTorah, where you should stand,
you have to
and
stand.
If you sit, you yotze b'di'evit.
As he says,
that's what Rashi's shita is, right? But the Rambam says, Rashi doesn't say it here, right?
Rashi says here,
ain't but Torah b'tzibur miyushav.
Right, lechatchila. But the Rambam says, Afilu b'di'evit. If you lain sitting down, you're not yotze. Even if you lain Kriyas HaTorah sitting down, you're not yotze even b'di'evit. Right. In other words, each of them takes the position that Kriyas HaTorah is one step more than Kriyas HaMegillah. Right. Rashi says you can sit down l'chatchila for Kriyas HaMegillah, the Balkore, but the Balkore should not sit down for Kriyas HaTorah. But if he sits down Kriyas HaTorah, you're yotze b'di'evit. The Rambam says you can't sit down for Kriyas HaMegillah l'chatchila, but if you do, your yotze b'di'evid. And Kriyas HaTorah, you're not even yotze b'di'evid. What's the halacha? Like Rashi or like the Rambam? What would you think?
From what I could be wrong, I think the Megillah, b'di'evid, you can sit.
Well, everybody agrees b'di'evid,
right?
The Megillah. Everybody agrees you can sit down for the Megillah, either l'chatchila or perhaps only b'di'evid.
Okay, so I don't know if it's b'di'evid.
Right.
I've heard that you can sit. And Kriyat HaTorah, as far as I know, you're not yotze if you even b'di'evid if you sit. But I could be wrong.
I imagine b'di'evid you're okay.
Yeah, so b'di'evid you're okay.
Really?
In theory, we can imagine a scenario. I think there's a shul like this, that has a balkore. There was something in the what, that OU magazine a while back. There's a shul that has, there's a shul that has, you know, they always talk about accessibility. You know, they build these, you know, unfortunately, you don't see it in Eretz Yisrael. In America, they're much more progressive on this matter. Our shuls are not generally... generally handicap accessible. I mean, maybe the building is handicap accessible, right? Like here. What?
Usually not that either.
Right, but here, like here, somebody with a wheelchair, and we have Matthew Turpaz's father comes every Shabbat, by wheelchair. So you can get right up with the buggy right up to the front of the shul, and they bring him in the wheelchair. You don't have to come upstairs to get into the shul, mm-hmm. right? Like the Rav Tachliti, the great synagogue of Efrat is Bechlal. I mean, Bechlal Rimon is not very handicap accessible. So they, a couple of years ago, everybody was getting older, right? Everybody was getting older, and they put in a Shabbat elevator because you had to walk up a flight of stairs just to get into the shul. But even places where you don't have a whole full flight of stairs, so you have in a lot of places two stairs, whatever it is, even two small stairs is enough to make it even one unhandy. But the bimot. Like our bima is not handicapped accessible. The bima in Zayed Ra'anan is not handicapped accessible.
That's why you daven in the first minute.
Right, but so like now the fashion in America in the Lincoln Square. I was in Lincoln Square not long ago, right? So Lincoln Square is it's like this shul in the round. So the bima, which is in the middle, has a ramp that goes up and around. It's like a snail to get up at the it's wheelchair accessible to get to the bima, but I was reading about a shul where the shulchan is like the standing desks have the thing, the shulchan can be lowered because as if you're in a wheelchair and you're here at the shulchan, it doesn't help you.
You need a high chair, right? If you're gonna lean.
So no, but even if it's even if you're just getting an aliyah, you sit here. You sit here at the shulchan in your wheelchair. You can't see the Sefer Torah, let alone learn from it. So there's a shulchan that's where the thing can be lowered, so that it's eye level to somebody in a wheelchair. So obviously, in theory, you could have somebody in a wheelchair.
What
does a balkore do? No, and you could be a balkore. Right, the balkore for that. If the guy in a wheelchair is the ole, so the balkore he bends over, he suffers a little bit for one aliyah, but if the balkore himself is in the wheelchair, which in theory you could have, So mina hanimili, how do you know that kriyas haTorah cannot be done sitting down, either lechatchila or b'di'evad? So Omar Rabbi Abahu, the Omar Kro, the ata po omed imadi. Where's that pasuk from? Veschanon, Sarasa Dibros, right? Va'ata po omedi madi. Who's mi amar al mi?
Hashem to Moshe.
What's implied in that pasuk? You, Moshe, should stand here with me. That Moshe stood, but also it implies HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing. If I say stand here with me, what does that imply about what I'm doing?
You're also standing.
That I'm also standing.
That's where the word with comes from.
The Amar Rabbi Abahu, il malei mikra katuv yefshar laomro. If it weren't a posuk, in other words, what's the problem with this posuk? The anthropomorphization of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stand, he doesn't sit, he doesn't... Right? Standing and sitting are physical phenomena that are relevant only to somebody that has a tuchus to put in a chair, or has a tuchus to not be in the chair?
Has legs to stand on.
Has legs to stand on it. It's a more genteel way of putting it. So if it weren't for the fact there's a posuk like this, we wouldn't be able to say such a thing. Right? That's a way of saying, we're frumer than God. Right? Like God said this in the Torah, but... like we would never say such a thing without God standing, God sitting. Kiveyochol af HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'amida, as if God Himself was standing. So from this we learn that the act. When is what is this? Why this pasuk is the relevant pasuk to this conversation?
God standing Torah.
Yeah, because this is to whatever degree Kriyat HaTorah is a reenactment of Matan Torah. So we look to Matan Torah as the avtipus to figure out how Kriyat HaTorah should be conducted.
Or Kiyilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was reading us at the Dibro.
Yes. V'omer Rabbi Abahu, minayin l'rav. So once Rabbi Abahu said this one halacha, we have another one. So this is the source. So the Gemara says this is the source for for standing for Kriyas HaTorah. But it would not apply to
Megillah.
And if that's the case, who do you think is right, Rashi or the Rambam?
Wouldn't you just have as a Kal V'chomer?
What?
Like Kal V'chomer.
Kal V'chomer from the Torah to Kriyas HaMegillah?
Right.
No, Adarabba, it's the no, Megillah is the Kal.
I would think, okay, I have a Kal, I'm saying a Bracha, so I have to stand. So Kal V'chomer, Megillah, I'm reading from a Kal, and I have to say a Bracha, I would Kal V'chomer think I would have to stand.
No, in other words, that's not the way Kal V'chomer works. And as you could say, look, Kriyas HaMegillah, Kriyas HaTorah is the real thing. Kriyas HaMegillah was obviously a Dirabonan mitzvah that was modeled after Kriyat HaTorah.
Okay.
The laws of writing the scroll, the laws of reading, many of the laws of reading the scroll, etc. But that's not Kal V'chomer, it would be the opposite. Because Kal V'chomer would be, imagine hypothetical, that there's an obligation to stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. So then you would say Kal V'chomer if there's an obligation to stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. So then Torah all the more so.
But it's the same thing. I mean, you would, you know.
No, so you could say that. You could say that since Megillah is modeled on Kriyat HaTorah, so if you have to stand for Kriyat HaTorah, so it applies there, right? And obviously the notion of why do we all stand for Kriyat HaTorah? Why does the Baal Kori always stand for Kriyat HaTorah? Kriyat HaMegillah.
Well, maybe from the influence of...
Influence? No, but also... no, but also because of this idea of Kavod HaTzibur.
We're saying a lot.
Kavod HaTzibur. Somebody mentioned last month, when we last learned this Mishnah, that they sometimes go to a minyan, not like in shul, but like a private, a house minyan for Kriyas HaMegillah, where the Baal Kori sits down. Who said that?
I've seen that.
Right,
well,
so...
Well, by Ozeli, they had it 1 year.
Right, so in theory, so you'd be Yotzo.
Echa people often read sitting down.
I once leaned for
somebody's... Echa, we always read later sitting down.
I once leaned for somebody's grandmother, and it was just me and her. I sat at the table with her.
And that's the halacha. Vomer, so when is it the obligation to stand for Kriyat HaMegillah is a din in Kavod HaTzibur. That a Shliach Tzibur should stand when he's being motzi the rabbi. But that's not a special din in Kriyat HaMegillah. It's a special din in Kavod HaTzibur, right? Which is why when you're reading for grandma at home, it's okay for you to sit down. But that's a din, that's not a din that's learned from Kriyat HaTorah. Kriyat HaTorah, you have to stand not because of Kavod HaTzibur, although Kavod HaTzibur certainly applies in that regard, but the standing for Kriyat HaTorah comes from, it's an inherent din in Kriyat HaTorah, which is modeled after, apparently, according to Rabbi Bau, Matan Torah.
Yeah, I imagine this is similar to the reasons why there are certain parts of tefillah that as individuals we're not supposed to be sitting, but the chazan doesn't.
The chazan stand.
Yeah,
we're
supposed to sit for asher. We're supposed to sit for kriyat shema.
Right.
And yet,
right. The chazan, except for tachnun, the shliach tzibur is on his feet the whole time. Right. Really, except for tachnun, that's the only time the shliach tzibur you ever have a shliach tzibur sit down.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? Yeah. Sometimes in Sephardi shuls, like there's some in a certain edot, the like for Psuket Zimra, they do it kind of round robin.
In Rome,
yeah. So they do it round robin. Even though there's like one chazan, it's done kind of round robin, and that's done. And then the chazan gets up for Yishtabach or whatever they get up to. But generally speaking, the chazan is on his feet the whole time, and that's the din of shliach tzibur. Oh yes, just mincha. Influenced no doubt by the position of Rabbi Soloveitchik. There was by us in Baka. There used to be this what I used to call a Kurdish shtibl, even though that's something of an oxymoron. There was a little, like a one-room little minion off of Rehov Asher. And I used to sometimes go in there for Mincha Maariv. And, I always said, like, if I'd gone there long, like, you could write, like, a doctorate in sociology just by observing, like, what goes on between Mincha and Arbit in this little Beit Knesset. And they sit, you know, like, in the round. You know, there's, like, a beam in the middle, and they sit, like, in a chet around the... thing. And I once sat there, like between Mincha and Arbit, and the Rav was saying, you know, Shtei Halachot between Mincha and Arbit, and I crossed my legs like this.
I didn't.
Oh my goodness! That you would have thought like I brought in a picture of Jesus himself. They were ready to flay me. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, same in the Knesset. I've had some
kind of I also once in that place, like while I was davening.
Because you were in a shul, or you're not allowed to look at it at all? Or?
I think it's covered by the Knesset. They see the bottoms of the feet, which are milchlach and dirty and dusty. And I also once, while I was davening, put my hands in my pockets. And no. And the guy next to me really let me have it. Mr. Din, you shouldn't do this. Okay, so Rav has another halacha that's connected at least. Minayin l'Rav shelo yeshev al gabe mita v'yishane l'talmido al gabe karka. How do you know that the Rav should not be up on a perch and the students down on the ground? Right. In other words, that the Rav would be like on a kind of sofa, you know, like a divan, and the students would be sitting on the ground. Shnei Marva Atapo Omedi Madi, the same Bosuk. That when Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to Moshe, God was standing and Moshe was standing. So from this you learn that the Rav and the Talmidim should all be on the same
level.
Which is, I mean, despite the fact that there are places where, I don't know if this is like a halakha that we are makpid on. I mean, there are classrooms that I can recall where the teacher, like in some universities, like the teacher, I think the Rav taught like this. Like in the room, there was like a platform, not a stage exactly, but a platform. His desk was on a platform, which, you know, because it wasn't like a theater-style classroom, right? So it was a way for him to be able to see like all the people. I think a number of the classrooms in YU had this like little platform at the front for the where the teacher was situated. So apparently this is not a halakha, you know, for which we're, but ideologically it makes sense, the idea that the teacher and the students are all right, they're all in it together. You know, even though the teacher's in possession, the Rebbe is in possession of knowledge that the students are lacking, but we're all engaged in the same activity. Now, this was an idea that the Rav used to speak about quite frequently. You know, the idea of the symposium of the generations. We're all learning together. We're all in the rough and tumble of it together. You know, that's why the irony that, with all of our emphasis on Kavod HaRav and Kavod HaTorah, but in the rough and tumble of a shiur, you know, an 18-year-old student can, like, challenge what the Rav says. Right. Rav says something. He says no, but maybe it's this. Maybe it's the shaklavataria, the rough and tumble of the learning. You know, on a certain level, we're all equals in this activity of Talmud Torah. We're all invested in it in the same way. You know, that idea that, you know, interestingly, you know, for the Rambam, there's no mitzvah to teach Torah. You know, like in the Minyan HaMitzvot, the Rambam has, there's a mitzvah of, and everybody agrees there's 613 mitzvot. And everybody agrees there's 248 mitzvot asay and 365 lot asay. When I say everyone agrees, obviously not everyone agrees, but almost everyone agrees. So the Rambam has two mitzvot asay. One is Tefillin Shel Yad, one is Tefillin Shel Rosh. But he does not have a mitzvah to learn Torah. What mitzvah does the Rambam have? He doesn't have a mitzvah to teach Torah, I'm sorry. He only has a mitzvah to learn. Right? It's like fascinating. There's no mitzvah to teach. There's only a mitzvah to learn.
The teacher learns as much from the students as the student learns from the teacher.
Right. You have to teach your children, right? So in order to teach your children, you have to learn, right? But for the Rambam, it's all one mitzvah. Like you can imagine, like he could have, there'd be one mitzvah to learn Torah, and there's another mitzvah to teach Torah, right? Like he had room to like make tefillin into two separate mitzvot. But for the Rambam, it's all one mitzvah, right? So teaching and learning, which is not reflected in English, but in Hebrew, lilmod ulilamed are just different declensions are different conjugations of the same verb, right? That because really it's two sides of the same coin. So in that regard, the idea that the teacher and the students have to be all on one level, right, is a reflection of this idea. But it's also indicated by the idea. It goes back to the same idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe were both standing at the time of Kriyat HaTorah. Tanu Rabbanan. Miyamot Moshe v'ad Rabban Gamliel lo hayu lamdin Torah ela mu'umad. Right, so it's a good question. How are we all sitting down now? Right, it's not just because of the bourbon, right? What, shouldn't we? In other words, the din of Kriyas HaTorah standing is learned from Matan Torah. So if Kriyas HaTorah you have to stand because of Matan Torah, what else should you have to stand for? Learning Torah. And in fact, until Rabban Gamliel, that was the case. They used to stand when they learned Torah. The teacher would stand, the students would stand. Mishemet Rabban Gamliel yarad choli la'olam. This is a Gemara, a Mishnah at the end of Sota. If you look at the end of Masechet Sota, there's this long list of things that happened, a long list of different Talmudic characters who must have somehow represented, you know, each one, some unique characteristic. And the Gemara lists, when this one died, that happened. When this one died, that disappeared. When this one died, when that other one died, this other thing disappeared. You know, like, when that plane went down, that'll be the day the music died. Right? So when Rabban Gamliel died, choli, sickness or feebleness, weakness entered the world. And from that point on, people were no longer able to withstand the rigors of learning standing up. And at that point, the custom became to sit down for learning. V'hayu lamdim Torah miyushav. V'haynu ditznan mishimet Rabban Gamliel bitel kvod ha-Torah. Right? Kvod ha-Torah was to stand. And when Rabban Gamliel died, that was like, you know, a diminution of Kavod HaTorah, which was represented by the fact that people started sitting to learn. Katuv echad omer ve'eshev bahar, v'katuv echad omer v'anochi amadati bahar. But there's a promise, two different psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu says in one place, he sat on Har Sinai, and another place says he stood on Har Sinai. So how do we reconcile this? Omar Rav, Omed Velomed, Yoshev Vishoneh. So Rav says, well, the activity on Har Sinai, it wasn't always the same thing. When he was learning, meaning when he was receiving the instruction from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stood. Why did he stand? Because God was standing. Right? And when he was shoneh, mazeh shoneh, reviewing. But when he was reviewing, those 40 days and 40 nights was not uninterrupted transmission from God. Right? They would meet, they would review. If he had questions, he'd ask questions. What's the halacha la Moshe Mitzinai?
What does it mean?
Like, what is a halachah? Give me an example of a halachah la Moshe Mitzinai.
Tefillin are black.
Tefillin are black is a halachah la Moshe Mitzinai. Where is that written in the Torah?
Nowhere.
Is it a halachah deraisa or derabonon? But it's not written in the Torah?
Because Moshe needed a clarification of what the...
So what does deraisa mean? What does it say? What does it mean to say something is min ha-Torah?
That's from Mitzinai, but it was from... Somehow Moshe got it.
Meaning it doesn't...
It's part of a mitzvah that we have from the Torah, but the details of it were filled in, not in the text, but given to Moshe Har Sinai.
Oh, meaning it's divine. It's not rabbinic in origin.
But you're not confusing Halacha Moshe Mitzinai and Doraita.
No,
right? Because, I mean, as I understand, Halacha Moshe Mitzinai is a special subclass of Doraita.
Correct.
Lots of Doraita.
In other words,
we learn from Torah Shebaal Peh, but it doesn't say Halacha Moshe Mitzinai.
All halachot l'Moshe Mitzinai are min haTorah, but not all min haTorah things are halachot l'Moshe Mitzinai.
It is derived by the midot of the
right. But in other words, the fact that there's a mitzvah called sukkah, deraita or derabbanan? Deraita. How do you know? Because there's a pasuk that says b'sukkot teshvu shivat yamim. Right? The fact that there
that's
is
not how a, we know. Right? We know because well, it tells us in the Gemara. There's lots of psukim.
You said it, but what's the source? What's the source for it? There's a pasuk. Right? What's the source for what we call tefillin? Totafot bein einecha. Right? What's the source for the fact those totafot, whatever totafot means, have to be black? Halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, you ready? Let's start learning. So Moshe Rabbeinu, what is the first thing he does? No. What's the first thing he does? He stands up. Right? He stands up. Standing up was the sign that he was getting the communication from Hashem. God says, and however it happens, whether in a, this is a machlokas in the Gemara, did Moshe write it down? Like, was the first, was the primeval Sefer Torah his notes from Shiur? Right? Or did he write it out over the course of the 40 years? Israel? Let's imagine it in the romantic way that he came down with the whole Sefer Torah, you know, from Bereshit, Bara Elokim, Ad, whatever the last few psukim are. Leave that aside. That's a Shiur for Simchas Torah. So. No, in other words, like, did Moshe write about his own death? Or, so Moshe writes it. Moshe says, hold on a second. He says, hey, God, what's totafot? So God explains that these boxes, they have these things written in them, right? They have these parashiot. These are the parashiot. And they're black. They have to be perfectly square. They have to be black. The ritzuot have to be black. That's halacha la Moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning it's a biblical obligation, even though it is not specified in the black on white, black fire on white fire written in the Torah. So Moshe, God says, all right, is that enough for today? So God goes off to, you know, run the world, and Moshe sits there and he reviews, and while he's reviewing, so then he's sitting down, which is how he solved the problem of the contradiction in the psukim, whether he was standing or whether he was sitting. Omar Rav Omed v'lomed v'yoshev Rabbi Chanina Omar Lo omed velo yoshev, ella. He was bowing. He was. In other words, Rabbi Chanina has like a way of like, you know, squaring the circle. He was neither standing nor. When it says one pasuk says he stood, the other pasuk says he sat. So what does that mean? It means he was standing, but he was kind of like bowed, out of awe, out of respect, out of fear. There's a third opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein Yeshiva Ela Lashon Akava. No. Yeshiva doesn't mean sitting. What does Yeshiva mean?
He was in one place.
That he was stuck. He was stuck in one place. He didn't move from that place. Shne Emar V'teshvu B'kadesh Yamim Rabim. What does that mean? V'teshvu B'kadesh Yamim Rabim. Doesn't mean that they were sitting all those years. Meaning they were. They were there. They remained.
Settled, not sitting.
Settled, right. Rava Amar, another position, Rakot Mi'umad V'Kashot Mi'ushav. No, the easier parts of Torah, he was standing, but the really difficult parts of the Torah, so for those he had to sit down.
I'm trying to imagine Moshe, which parts are which.
Yeah, right, but you have to wonder.
Kiddush like, HaKodesh.
Yes, so that's a good, excellent example, right? The eclipse, he wanted to know, like, how does the eclipse work, right? What bracha to say on the eclipse? Did you say a bracha?
I did.
What, also mm-hmm. Massive version?
Yes.
What?
A lot of discussion, it's like unending discussion. I want you to say
really bracha. When someone gets something really hard, when they stand up, they don't focus.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe.
Rakot, Rashi says, Dvarim rakim v'nochim sh'adam mahir le sham'an. What? If you presume that the whole of Torah, meaning the book as we have it, was dictated to Moshe up front, which is not necessarily the way you have to understand it. But there is such a position that like Moshe had, like he knew what was going to happen. And Moshe knew like all the things that were going to go wrong. So maybe the rakot and the kashot aren't like the hard halachot and the hard sugyot and the easy sugyot. But maybe he's like learning about like all the tragedy that's going to befall the Jews, right? Or the Tochacha, or the Meraglim, or whatever it is. Right? But that, you don't have to explain it that way. Okay, turn the page. Tana. Ma she'en kein b'Torah. Again, Tana, ma she'en kein b'Torah. So what is this? Rashi doesn't even help us out here.
Well,
we have,
right.
What?
Right. Last few words on the last
line. Oh, yeah. All right, so they stuck in from the Mishnah, but that's ahead, but that's not in the Gemara. That's just...
it's in my Gemara.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's just a quote back to the Mishnah. So right, so the Mishnah says, Kara echad kara shnayim yatsu. Right? You have one bal kore, you have two, reading the Megillah together, you yotze. Masha eino kein ba kriyata Torah. Right? You can't have two, we Lamaisa, we never see this for Chris and Megillah either. You never see two people simultaneously reading the Megillah.
Oh, so it's simultaneous.
Yeah. No, we're talking about two people simultaneously reading the Megillah.
Why would you do that?
Why would you do that?
Special.
What?
It's one guy like reading from the book for it.
Because there's too much noise.
Only one is reading.
What would be an advantage to having two simultaneous... Yeah, it's like a megaphone. Maybe there's value to that.
Well, it could also be that someone is reading along with the book for it and just happens to be reading it out loud. So the people that are standing with him at his table are hearing him along with.
Right, Nachman. I think I've been to places like where the guy who gets an aliyah often reads along with the Baal Korah, and the rabbi has to shush him.
Yes. I mean, you're supposed to do it. When you get an aliyah, you're supposed to lean along, but you should do it in an undertone. Mashing came out to
not even the Baal Korah can hear you because it throws him off sometimes.
Yes. Yeah. Tanura Banan. Batorah echad kore vechad mitargem. Now, in the days of old, there was the mitargem. The Baal Korah would read a posuk, then the mitargem would read it in Aramaic, giving the Baal Korah time to look ahead to the next posuk.
Tarjum.
What?
Tarjum.
So we have it to this day.
Right. What did
you say?
Tarjum.
However they say it.
They have it to this day. Ubilvad shelo yehe echad kore v'shnayim mitargamin. Uvenavi echad kore v'shnayim mitargamin. Ubilvad shelo yehu shnayim korim v'shnayim mitargamin.
What's the problem with shnayim mitargamin?
What would be the problem with shnayim mitargamin? Because we have this idea. I mean, generally speaking, what's the problem of two people laning?
You don't know which one you're hearing.
Shnei kale lo mishtame. That you can't easily differentiate between the two voices, and then you're not really hearing either. But why can't you have two people doing the targum?
Because it would confuse you. People
will think if it's okay with targum, then it's also okay with.
I would think because it's because the purpose of the talk is so that you understand. If two people are talking to you at the same time, you don't understand what they're saying.
Problem. People, chorus and people sing. You have multiple singers. It's not a problem understanding if they're in tune.
But the Bryce says, "Uva Hallel u'Megila afilu asara korin v'asara mitargami." But for Hallel. For Hallel and Megillah, you can even have a chorus of 10 people doing it together. This is talking about the time when Hallel would have been recited by one person to be motzi others. Right? No, because if everybody say, if the way that we say Hallel, Lamaisa, we do say Hallel like this, right? In other words, when we all say Hallel together, it's true that one guy's standing at the Amud and is technically the Chazan, but we're all saying a Hallel together at the same time, right? So this is talking about
10 guys standing.
Right, this is talking about a time when one person would say the Hallel to be Motzi the Rabbim, who maybe could not have said the Hallel. Shlo yu shnayim korin v'shnayim v'sev v'tayim my timer. Why is this? Kevan dechaviva Yahave da'atayhu v'shamei. Hallel and Megillah are in a special category of mitzvot chavivot, beloved mitzvot. Why are they more beloved than Kriyas HaTorah?
They're positive stories and happy occasions. Huh? Hagi,
so. Yeah, so maybe that's one shita, that they're both stories of salvation. Hallel talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they're it's always...
Less frequently.
Or maybe they're chaviven because they come around a lot less. Similarly, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah refers to Kiryas Shofar as a mitzvah chaviva. It's something you do once a year, right? You get more excited about it. Kriyas HaTorah, what's really more important? You know that old seminar game, you're on a desert island, you can only take three mitzvah objects with you, what should you take? You never went to like a Shabbaton?
I don't remember. So what should you take?
Right? Right? So in other words, you can, you know, where you're like in jail and they tell you you can only do one mitzvah, you know, which one should you do? Right? Yeah, the Russians have you. The Russians have you. You
on the other regular.
No, you're not everybody. Not everybody in jail can is there because what? They did Navera. Like we're talking about like the we're talking about Russians, you know, we're talking about Sharansky, we're talking about like, you know, he's there. So what? So what's like the one mitzvah? So, Sharansky said that like he's not like all the other politicians. He went to jail before he went into politics. So, that's like in Yonah Dioma. So,
I said in the, you know, in the big Knesset, in the Knesset they should have Anu.
Yeah. Except those guys. Oh, some of them do that. So Hallel, either because Hallel is like Hallel and Megillah. But it's really, think about it. Megillah, every year you get up there, Corey gets up there, it's to make the announcements. You'll say the brach, everyone will have kavanah to be yotze. And nobody should talk. And, you know, Kriyas HaTorah is more important than Kriyas HaMegillah. When was the last time of Kriyas HaTorah, Parshas Ki Teitzeh, somebody got up and said, we're about to start laning. Laning's a mitzvah. Kriyas HaTorah's a mitzvah. Right? The Kohen is here, he's going to make a bracha, he's going to say Baruchu, and he'll say Bracha Rishona, everybody should be Yotze. Right? And nobody should talk in between. Right? And what happens? Maaseh Shaya Kachava. There's a lot of talking during Kriyas HaTorah, but during Kriyas HaMegillah, there's relatively little, if none at all.
So we should start announcing that on Shabbat.
Yeah.
It's like the famous story.
Or we should start reading Torah once a year.
Nechama Leibowitz's father told her that it's more important what you do between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah than what you do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Yeah, right.
Should I say it again?
Right.
It's more important what you do between Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah than what you do between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
The other 355 days a year. So because of this, but apparently the problem with all these other things is that we're not sufficiently attentive, and if two people are doing it together, you won't be attentive to listen to one of them to be yotzei the mitzvah. Mokom shenahogu levarech, Omer Abaye lo shanu elo leachareha. This is talking about the bracha of Haravet Rivenu Vedanet Dinenu. You know, the bracha that you say, that kind of like long bracha that you say at the end of the Megillah, which is like a bracha of Shevach, that God saved us, right? How does it end? Right? So that's a matter of minhag. So that after bracha of the Megillah is a minhag. I think it's the universal minhag at this point. It's a universal minhag at this point that we say the bracha after the Megillah.
I've never heard of not saying it. But
that's what means it's a universal minhag. Yeah, yeah. But apparently this was not always... Aval lifaneha, the bracha we say beforehand, mitzvah levarech. You have to say the bracha. Now it happens we say two brachot or three brachot beforehand. Put Shechiyanu aside. But we say the birkat ha-mitzvah, shir kedishanu b'mitzvata v'tzivanu al mikra Megillah, and shosanisim lavotenu. Presumably, the Gemara here is talking about the Birkat HaMitzvah, that you have to say Asher Ketchan B'Mitzvotav. There's a mitzvah to say it. De'omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvot Kulan, Mivarech Alehen Over La'asiyatan. All of the mitzvot, you have to say a bracha over them, Over La'asiyatan. Maza Over La'asiyatan? Prior to their performance. The Gemara now wants to know, what does it mean, Over La'asiyatan? What would be a different way to say that? Lifnei asiyatan, kodem la'asiyatan. Right? When I first started learning Gemara, I was learning with somebody who had like a very pronounced New York Ashkenazi accent. And he said, over la'asiyosin. And I couldn't figure out what he was saying. Over la'asiyosin. Over la'asiyatan. Prior to their performances, obviously, when we say this, if in some places they say the bracha, in some places they don't say the bracha, that can't be talking about the bracha of Asher Kedshanu B'Mitzvotav, since the Gemara says there's a mitzvah to recite the brachot of the Birkat HaMitzvah beforehand. Why do we make a Birkat HaMitzvah?
On Megillah?
On any mitzvah. L'hatak Neshel Shabbat. Al Natilat Yadayim. Al Natilat Yadayim is tricky because it's hard to. We don't do it over the Siyata. Lakbo Mezuzah, Lahaniach Tfilin.
Remind us that we have to have in mind that we're doing it to keep the Rabbanan.
Yeah, so all brachot are mitzvot de Rabbanan. That the Chazal tacked on, before you do a mitzvah, they tacked on another mitzvah to say a bracha.
To make sure you're doing it for the right
to remind
attention.
Us that we're
so
doing it.
So maybe it's a statement of kavana, even though we say mitzvot einan srichot kavana, it's good to have kavana. And what kind of kavana do you certainly need to have?
No, you're doing mitzvah.
That this is a mitzvah, right? That this, that what you're about to do is a mitzvah.
I think we talked about this, someone said, so it's funny we say, Hinini Mukhanam is one of the things I'm about to say, and then you say a bracha.
That is why the Litvaks don't say the Hinini Mukhanam Muzumans. As that was, the Hinini Mukhanam Muzumans were instituted by the Kabbalists and then popularized by the Chassidim, right? Mm-hmm. Because in addition to the simple Kavanah of doing the mitzvah, they wanted to have Kavanot where they were affecting the heavens. Right? But the Litvaks don't say those Hinini Mukhanam Muzumans, or the Hiratzons and things like that, because it was enough to do. That's what the bracha does. That's the Agnon story. Agnon is a story about two brothers. One's a chusid, one's a misnagid. They meet on the morning of the first day of Pesach, on the way to shul, and they're talking about what time did your seder end, what time did your seder end. So the chusid says to the misnagid, "Oh, you know, I had such kavanah when I was eating the matzah. These are the kavanahs that I had." And he talks about aligning the heaven above and the earth below and the Yetzias Mitzrayim and all this other stuff. And he says to his misnagdish brother, "What kavanahs did you have?" So he said, "I'm a simple Jew. I only had kavanah to be yotzei the mitzvah." And the chassid says, "Oh, that's the one thing I forgot." So the Gemara wants to know, what is the language of Over La Siyatan? That's what we'll talk about next week.